From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the third day of December 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Harry Cooney from GrowMark will be here to look at the agricultural energy markets. Along the way today, we'll hear from Dave Dickey with an update of the agricultural news, including the opening of the comment period for U.S. EPA's new RFS proposal. And as we close out our program, we'll talk with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon here. The way the numbers finished up in Chicago at the CME Group, nearby contract for December wheat at $6.53¾, up 4 cents. March contract, $6.68¼, 6½ higher. In July, that's the harvest month for the soft red, at $6.68¼, up 4¾. The harvest month for the hard red is also July. It finished at $7 even, 2¼ cents higher. December corn futures at $4.22, up 5½ cents. The March at $4.31¼, 6¾ higher. In May corn, $4.39½, up 6½. July futures $4.46¾, 6¾ higher. In December futures at $4.60, that's the new crop harvest month for 2014, or next year at $5.75 higher. That's 5¾ cents higher, not $5. And the January beans, $13.19¾, a penny and a half lower. March futures down 1½ at $13.04½, and May futures at $12.87¼, and the bean pit a quarter lower. July futures up a penny at $12.79¾, and November bean futures $11.57¾, up 7¾. December bean meal, 90 cents lower at $446.10. Bean oil at $39.90. That finished 44 cents lower on the day. Live cattle futures in the December contract at $132.52½, 72½ cents lower. February is at $134.10, down 17½. Feeders finished the January's at $164.85, 50 cents lower for 100 pounds, and the March contract at $165.25. down 42½. December lean hogs, $84.82½, $1.20 lower. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. January contract, $96 and a penny a barrel, up $2.19. The RBOB gasoline price, that's the wholesale, at $272.50, 4⅞ cents higher. And ethanol futures at $2.35, up 15 cents for the day. Natural gas trading $3.97¼, that's a penny and 7 cents lower. And diesel fuel at $3.06¼. up 1⅙ cents. Gold futures at $1,221.30 an ounce, finished a dollar lower, or down one, that is, in the U.S. dollar. Trading at 80.61 is down 0.31 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Cloudy skies, a high of 52 degrees on a south wind at 11 to 13 miles an hour. It will gust to 17. Tonight, areas of fog, otherwise cloudy, and a low of 48 degrees. South-southeast winds at 9 to 13 miles an hour. And then for tomorrow, a Wednesday, we'll see a 30% chance of showers. And on Wednesday, cloudy skies, a high of 60 degrees, a south-southeast wind at 9 to 18. And then mostly cloudy skies on Wednesday evening with a low of 30. Thursday, a 40% chance of snow. Afternoon, mostly cloudy and the high of 34. Thursday night, a 40% chance of snow. And we begin to drift off in terms of our temperatures, down to 22. Just a 25-degree Friday high and cloudy skies. Friday night down to 12. Saturday sunny and 21. Saturday night a low of 13 degrees and partly cloudy. Sunday a chance of snow, mostly cloudy and 27. And snow on Sunday evening, mostly cloudy and 18. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Take a look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's the month of December. That means there will be some more reports that are due out. Not really that we have to deal with in terms of crop production for any of our crops, corn or soybeans, that is. But the WASDE numbers will make a difference, I suppose.
Well, yes, they will. I mean, as we look and see, will the government increase the bean usage, and stuff as we look at that, because we are so heavily loaded with front-end exports and bean crush this year. And along that, that's going to be a big thing. And, of course, the feed usage on the corn is going to be big also.
Yeah, so we'll check all those numbers out. What did you see in the trade today?
Well, you know, we saw a little bit of fund short covering, especially in the corn. The funds bought about 2,300 contracts of corn, while they were sellers about 2,000 contracts of beans. As we come in from the overnight, the beans were being hit a little bit hard, and then we saw a little bit of fund short covering being generated. You know, most of it, the talk was that there's been no new export sales announcements the last 3 days, and none coming out today that way. And then there was talk of two large Chinese crushers offering Jan beans back for resale. So that was a little bit negative to the beans early on.
And your view of the week on corn, we've had a Monday and a Tuesday that closed higher. That's a nice turn of events, I think.
It's a nice turn of events. Of course, you know, we've been pretty hard on the corn market here over the last few weeks, where we've been pretty kind to the bean market compared to where we were at. And basically, we got down into the area that looked like support. We've still got a lot of ethanol plants looking for corn out there and like to have some. The basis level is good. They're looking to acquire or put some length to their market in right here. So they're being a bit aggressive bidding up on the basis levels.
Do you suppose there might be a chance, an opportunity to market cash corn? And I don't know whether producers will look at it that way, but there could be, I suppose, between now and the end of the year. And if that's the case, where might that be? Is it at $4.30 December or someplace else?
Well, I think, anything north of there is going to be somewhat of a favorable sale. I mean, most of the advisory firms are saying that they would like to sell rallies of 5 to 15 cents. So I think that fits in the 4.30 to 4.40 bracket. And that's, you know, sort of what we feel, that we're in a trading range that sort of stops at 4.40.
The stops at 4.40, so that would be the upside. So 4.30 to 4.40 would be a good spot. Is there much upside potential at all beyond that? You said it stops there. Is it capped?
Well, I mean, that's where we see the resistance coming in.
Right.
I think that, we'd have to see a change in South American weather and something else happened to take us beyond that point. At this point in time.
How about for the soy complex?
Well, the soy complex, basically, we're somewhat in the 13 to 1350 mode here right now. You know, we went up and we backed off from where the range was there. So I think that, 1340 or so above is still probably a good sale in the beans.
By comparison to corn, are beans overpriced?
Well, in comparison to corn, beans seem to be overpriced, but in comparison to the demand that we're seeing out there, the beans are seeing very good demand right now from China is the main one, of course, but also from the crushers. The crush margins continue to be good, and we see that there is demand for the near term. There keeps talking or hanging over our heads is the idea that we'll probably see some cancellations out of China, out of the U.S. beans purchases that they have when the Brazilian beans become available, but we're also seeing that they continue to seem to come up to the plate and buy them. But the corn that's been rejected by China and some talk that some of their processors want to resell some of the beans they've already bought hang over our heads.
Yeah, so what I was hoping to get at and that you started to come around to was that the price today is the price today, but I was wondering whether the price in the future might have to narrow between those two is in terms of ratio and whether that would be bringing corn price up or soybean prices down. Or not at all.
Unfortunately, as we look ahead, you know, we're seeing that South American bean prices are $75 to $1 cheaper than U.S. prices for beans priced into the world market when we get it from March on forward. And that generally tells us that we'd have to come down a little bit on the beans rather than up. So I'm afraid that it says we'll probably pull the beans down when it gets into the March time frame.
Wheat producers are settled in now. The crop's in the ground. And, of course, this week and next week it has gone into dormancy and will settle out for the winter time. How did that process go, and do you have any advice for them?
Well, I mean, as far as the wheat goes, I think, you know, we're talking, as you said just before the broadcast here, that the temperature is going to get rather nippy here this into this weekend. We've got a lot of areas that don't have a good snow cover on, and there's a little bit of talk of, you know, as to some winter kill going on in some of those areas that way. That was a little bit. It looks like we'll pick up a little bit of business here along the way. They're looking for the wheat production, or the wheat price to tighten, the basis to tighten here. Today, Informa come out with Argentine wheat production at 9.8. The USDA is at 11 million. So, you know, that's lower than what the government says that way. So we're looking at that. The Australian wheat harvest, though, was forecast at 25 million metric tons. Hebert is at 26.2. In the U.S., it was 25.5. So very close on that one, but lower out of South America. And that does put us in the idea of being the supplier of some wheat coming up here.
All numbers that will be updated in the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates for the month of December. So we can look forward to those, too.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like, you can hear him again at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, will be along in a moment with today's Agricultural News. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Environmental Protection Agency says today that the comment period for the proposed 2014 renewable volume obligations for the renewable fuel standard will close on January 28th of next year. The EPA on November 15th released the long-awaited proposed RVOs for 2014, which includes a reduction in the overall mandate to 15.21 billion gallons from volumes set by statute at 18.15 billion. The proposal includes volume ranges within each category: cellulosic, 8 million to 30 million gallons, biomass-based diesel remaining at 1.28 billion gallons, advanced biofuels at 2 to 2.51 billion gallons, and renewable fuel total at 15.0 to 15.52 billion. EPA expects to have a final rule at the first quarter of 2014. Top world trade officials began talks today that will either produce an 11th-hour deal that could boost the global economy by $1 trillion or possibly spell the end of the World Trade Organization's relevance as a forum for negotiations. Negotiators are close to a slimmed-down deal, but there is no finished document for the dozens of trade ministers attending a summit in Indonesia. In the meantime, the U.S. and other countries have been developing separate regional trade deals. The newest, largest of them in the works, the Trans-Pacific Partnership among the U.S. and 11 other Pacific Rim economies, would give developed economies fewer incentives to forge WTO deals. The director of the Mexican Sugar Chamber says the government of Mexico may stop exporting sugar to the U.S. market next year and shifting those exports to regions outside the U.S., Mexico, Canada, NAFTA region. Currently, the government of Mexico owns 9 sugar mills, which together account for 20% of production. Aguaral says Brazil's soybean planting moved forward 10 percentage points this past week. Farmers have planted 89% of the projected 2013-14 soybean area as of last Friday, in line with the 5-year average, with ample rains registered across most of Brazil's vast grain belt. Aguaral raised the forecast for the crop to 89.4 million metric tons from an October soybean figure of 88.7 million metric tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, you know, work done right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois may offer victims of last month's tornadoes in the Midwest a quick, eco-friendly, and affordable way to rebuild their homes. The November tornadoes in Illinois destroyed hundreds of homes. The wreckage in places like rural Gifford is still being cleaned up. The cleanup, the loss, that's heart-wrenching. People need new homes, new places to stay, and that takes time. A lot of time. But it doesn't have to, says Mark Taylor from the University of Illinois.
The rehome was designed for a disaster response situation. It happened around the time we got hit with tornadoes in Illinois before, and the students wanted to respond to that in some way. So that was the beginning of the investigation that we got involved in.
An investigation aimed to bring an eco-friendly, affordable, disaster-resistant permanent replacement home to a site within a matter of days, not months. It's called the Rehome. It's a modular home that can be built on the line in as little as 8 days before being transferred to the permanent site. It was designed by students of architecture at the University of Illinois.
What we've done with this house is that we've designed it to satisfy the building code in Illinois for high winds. And then the other side of it is the sort of energy efficiency side of things. So we're looking at a building envelope that is tight and well insulated. So this is looking at in terms of long-term costs in the house so that we can reduce those over the long period of time.
The shell of the house cost about $80,000. However, that's only about 1,000 square feet. Still, that's an affordable range. It's possible to use the eco-friendly modular building technique to make much, much larger homes.
And we understand that when people rebuild, they've got a lot of decisions to make about what they want to rebuild, whether they want to have a high-end kitchen or whether they want to have something that's more within their budget, maybe. So the design of the house was to have something that could adapt to each person's individual's budget and aesthetics as well. The house that we've created was a very contemporary, modern look, but we're now working on how that may be adapted to something that maybe fits in more with the houses that were destroyed.
Putting back pretty gabled homes where they once stood. Taylor says he and the students in the University of Illinois School of Architecture would be glad to work with disaster victims to design a home built on the lessons of their research. Those wanting to learn more about the rehome can contact Mark Taylor in the School of Architecture on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The current version of the rehome is just south of Urbana on Ray Street. You can see more about the rehome on our website at willag.org. This story is actually a television piece, too. You'll see some video from Gifford and of the original rehome. It's at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's check now the agricultural energy markets. Harry Cooney is on the phone line from GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon. We've kind of been in the fog a lot of the day over here.
Well, we've been in the fog all day here. Oh, you mean outside.
Outside, yes, that's right.
The markets, on the other hand, have been moving. Tell me about the energies, please.
Well, the energy markets bottomed out in November and have been since rallying, especially in the products, the gasoline and diesel fuel markets, bottomed around the 10th of November or so and have rallied ever since then. From here on, we're looking for a seasonal price setback that normally occurs in the month of December. And for end users, we need to use this opportunity, if we can get a little setback, to start contracting for our 2014 needs. So the hunting season is open for deer and all that, and we're in the hunting season for the energy prices. So we have our finger on the trigger and hoping for some type of the seasonal setback that we normally would see here in December, and we're looking out for that here now.
Basis, the lead option crude oil contract, the January, I take it, what kind of drop would you be looking to execute on?
Well, most likely, if we could get back to the old lows, and in crude oil, that's down around $92, but of course, we'll be buying the products. We'll be buying gasoline
right
for spring and summer, and we'll also be looking to buy diesel fuel, so I would say probably a 10 to 20 cent setback would probably put us in the range that we would look to start executing some of those contracts for the next calendar year.
And so you're looking at what, 230, is that right? RBOB gasoline then?
RBOB gasoline, let's get over here. That would be more of, oh, the January contract's about 275 here this afternoon. So if we get back down in the 250s or so, that would be good there. If we look over to the nearby heating oil contract, it's up around 305 to 310. If we can get that thing down to around 290 or so, I think that'll be probably about as good as we can anticipate. But then we'll be buying on out forward months, so we'll be buying like April, May, June, and even looking at next fall's needs also at the same time that we do the front end.
I'm surprised you're going that far out. Is that normal for you, or is that?
Yes, very normal. In fact, normally the historic lows for the next year occur in December and January, so that's why we look at this opportunity as quite a period to do our Black Friday shopping, I guess you'd say, in the energy complex.
Do you suppose there's much of a chance that you actually missed it with the low that came on November 10?
I think we missed an opportunity, but usually there's several of them throughout the hunting season here, and the season is normally from about the early November until or through Valentine's Day, so there's still lots of time here. We just have some patience and look for these opportunities. For end users, talk to their local FS member cooperatives about what programs they offer now for contracting, so then when they're ready to pull the trigger, they'll know what's out there.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. He talks to us once a month on a Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. In just 2 minutes, I'll be back. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. This is Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report.
It's National Ice Cream Box Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1838, Cleveland Abbey was born. A U.S. astronomer and meteorologist, he is considered the father of the U.S. Weather Bureau. The Weather Service was authorized by Congress on February 9, 1870, and Abbey joined the following January, bringing skills as the only person in the country with experience drawing weather maps from telegraphic reports and forecasting from them. In 1842, Ellen Swallow Richards was born. An American chemist, she was one of the founders of the home economics movement in the U.S. In 1910, George Claude first demonstrated his new invention, the neon light, at the Paris Motor Show. And in 1984, the world's worst industrial disaster occurred in Bhopal, India. Over 40 tons of poisonous gas leaked out of a Union Carbide pesticide factory. About 3,800 were killed, and over 300,000 people suffered acute respiratory problems, burning eyes and vomiting. An independent investigation showed a strong possibility of employee sabotage as a cause of the disaster, although it has never been proved. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Farm Doc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of five Illinois Farm Economic Summit meetings December 16th through 20th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers. Registration and details at farmdoc.illinois.edu.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It's Tuesday afternoon. Don Day from Day Weather is on the phone line from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and he's going to help us take a look at the weather forecast here in the Midwest and then the growing regions around the planet. Let's start with the next week in the Midwest, Don.
Well, get ready for some winter. An Arctic blast coming out of the Yukon. In fact, it got started in Siberia, is going to be heading into the Pacific Northwest and Northern Rockies over the next couple of days. Then it's going to push east into the Plain States and eventually get into the Corn Belt. We're going to see a swath of very cold air, coldest air of the season, move in to places like Iowa Wednesday night and into Thursday. Illinois, we'll see the cold come in late Thursday into Thursday night and Friday, and it is going to be as cold as it's been all season long. Now, when it comes to snow with this system, at least for the Corn Belt, we may be playing the middle here where we may not see a lot of ice and snow, maybe to our south over the Ohio Valley, then into the upper Midwest to our north and west. Those are the areas that look like they'll get some ice and snow out of this, but the key word is cold for everybody.
Well, anytime you use the words Yukon and Siberia in the same sentence, I suspect it means really cold. What will be the low overnight?
Well, I'll tell you this. There is the potential over a week period, starting from this Thursday and Friday into the following week, where going below zero, I think, is a real possibility.
Daytime highs?
Daytime highs in some areas might not get a single digits in teens. This is the coldest December cold snap we've seen going back to 2009. And if any of the new forecast charts that have come in today end up being even third correct, you know, getting those single-digit highs and below zero temperatures in some areas of the Midwest next week are a real possibility.
Let's go somewhere warmer. Turn your attention to South America, please.
Well, we're going to have to go there because across the Northern Hemisphere, it's very cold even over in Europe. And if we go to South America and look, it is warmer, and it looks like temperatures in Argentina, Brazil, key growing areas of the South, it is going to be a little bit warmer than it has been. They've actually been close to, if not a little bit below normal temperature-wise. Precipitation-wise, it looks favorable for growing. Brazil, northern and central Argentina look at decent amounts of precipitation over the next week.
And China has finished up their growing season, but Australia is in the midst, I think, of closing out their wheat harvest. How did it go?
Well, doesn't look too bad. There's been a little bit of weather in portions of Australia, but it hasn't been extraordinary, nothing that should have caused too many delays.
Thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, and that wraps it up. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com. Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.